Now we're heading to the first commercial hop farm in Southland. Cosmo Kentish Barnes is with James McNamee at Garston Hops. James says the first trial plot was planted in a paddock in 2016, and since then he hasn't looked back.
This is hop plants with sheep grazing and sleeping underneath them. So this is an example of Southland two-tier farming. So we've got the hop plants all happily growing high, and the sheep are at the bottom, and they're making good work at keeping the grass down and the weeds down. And hops do have quite a calming effect, so that'll help keep them happy as well.
How many sheep have you got in this hop garden here?
I think there's about 400 of them in here. There were 600 of the mob yesterday, but 200 got them peeled off, and there's 400 left.
The sheep on the family farm are managed by James's brother Terence and his wife Len.
We just have 800 acres now, and we run a breed called Snowline. We used to have Romneys, but nobody really wants Romneys anymore. The wool's a bit coarse, and they were getting quite hard to lamb. You've got to take good care of them. Snowline come out of Central Otago, and they are much more easy care sheep.
Was it quite a big change for you and Terence to have hops growing on some of those more productive flat paddocks?
It was, but we were on board with it. In the early days, James was away a lot and we looked after them, so we were very hands-on to start off with. When we were doing those trial plots, we dug the holes and planted them and trained them up and looked after them and worried about them. But now we've taken a step back and do the farm side of things.
Farm diversification has moved in mysterious and exciting ways.
It has. It has. It's exciting, though. Yeah. No, we're all on board with it.
We've been farming here for 145 years. We've predominantly been doing sheep, and sheep don't do so well anymore. And so we're looking for something else that, I guess, suits our farm and suits our land. And the main key factor down here is the latitude of where we are. If you look where they grow hops, the Northern Hemisphere lines up better down here than it does further north. They like the long sunlight and daylight hours. They like the cold that we get in the evenings and the winters. They like the variation that we get here.
And how many hectares have you got in hops?
We've got 15 hectares in now, 45,000 plants in the ground.
And you're looking to expand?
Yes. Yes, we want to go out to 40 hectares here, and we want, hopefully, other farmers come in with us, and we'll build our own little hop community down here, and we'll have our own processing shed and our workers and build our hop community.
So you want to encourage other farmers to start growing?
Yes, most definitely. We had an open day here in January. We had 150 people turn up to have a look at that round, so other farmers are also looking to see what else they can do, or do something different. With the climate here and the state of the meat market and the wool market. So, yeah, definitely the more we get, the more we can grow together.
Has anyone else started growing hops yet, or are you still the only farmers who are doing it here?
Our neighbour has put 100 plants in as well, just down the road, so he took the title of us for the southernmost hops in New Zealand, but we'll still claim the southernmost commercial hops.
Have some people been surprised at how well they seem to be growing here?
Yeah, people have been surprised, but I guess wasn't too much of a surprise when I wandered down and saw my, when I first started looking at this, I wandered down and saw my first cousin down the road, Matt, who's in his 80s. He's had a hop plant on his porch for 30 years. He used that to brew his own beer. And the gold miners were down here in the 1850s and 1860s, so there's wild hops around in the hills as well. So it'd be interesting to find some of them someday and cross them with these ones and get a variety that's unique to this area.
Lynn is the family historian, and she might well have uncovered a hoppy link between the past and present.
The McNamee family started off in Skippers as gold miners, made a bit of money, and then came down here when they opened up the valley to Ballots. So they sectioned it off into 200-acre plots, because that's all you needed in those days to make a good living off a farm. And our family won the ballot, and so we came down here. It took them a few days by horse to get here, and when they came here, there was nothing.
They had no idea what it was going to be like.
No, 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 there was nothing. There wasn't a tree in the valley. It was just basically tussock like you see on the hills. Mm. And there had been some bush in the past, but most of that had disappeared. I think fires went through at some stage and took most of it out.
Back to now, and also with us at Garston Hops is hop manager Blaz Helen.
Hello, I'm from Slovenia, and I'm coming from a hop farm back home, and we are on latitude 45, and here Garston is 45. And I think the sun and the soil here in New Zealand can bring some special hop flavors.
How did you connect with James?
We had a hop congress in 2019 in Slovenia, and I met a manager from Nelson Farm, and he invited me to New Zealand. And yeah, of course, I want to see how the New Zealand hop industry is going. So yeah, I took it the opportunity straight away. Mm. And then somehow opportunity opened to come to Garston and to manage the Garston hop farm. And yes, opportunity which needs to be taken.
How many generations have your family been growing hops for?
So it's a fifth hop generation hop farm. We have also some beef production. We have some cereals, so it's a bit of a mixed farm. But hops was always on the farm.
What's the difference between hops and hop production here compared to in Slovenia?
I always say maybe a bit easier in New Zealand because you don't have that much pests and that much diseases. So back home we need to take care more of the pest management and of diseases management. But here in New Zealand the hop plant doesn't really need any diseases management, so we don't need to spray the plants. And if you can grow the hops without pesticides, the brewers are happy and also the end customer. And we don't need to interrupt our ecosystem, so everyone's happy on the end.
Where do you get your hop stock from?
We started growing them ourselves, but it wasn't economically worth us doing, so we just get them from the nurseries up in Nelson.
Yeah. So how many varieties of hops are growing in this hop garden here?
So we have five varieties, and that's Motueka, Nelson Savan, Rakau, Cascade and Riwoka. We will harvest them separately, and we'll harvest them on a different day.
Some might require an extra day or two.
Yeah. Right now we are seeing that Motueka and Cascade will be the first ones.
And when is harvesting starting?
Yeah, that's up for debate at the moment, but yeah, somewhere between the 15th and the 17th of March, we think.
Blaz, as hop manager, what are you doing at the moment as harvesting quickly approaches?
Yes, we are testing now every day each variety. So we are checking the dry matter of the cones, and then we're also putting up our harvest machinery together, and we want to test our harvester at least 1 week before. And then we're ready to start the harvest.
Has a lot of machinery been made, especially for this hop garden?
Yes, because it's one of the first hop farms here. It's really hard to get the machinery. So I had a challenge in December. So I built a wine picker that will extract the wines and will get the leaves and the cones. And then we send the leaves and the cones through the leaf extractor. And then on the cleaning line, and we get just the cones. And then the leaves could be a feed for our ships, and the wines will compost them, and we can put them back in the hop garden.
Very clever.
Thank you.
And I can see some irrigation there. How important is that, being such a dry summer?
Yes, it's kind of dry here in that valley right now, but we have a good irrigation system. We have all hop gardens are under drip irrigation. And for good quality hops, you need a lot of amount of water. But because we have drip irrigation, we can put that water next to the hop plant, and we can actually use less than if we had a sprinkler irrigation system.
Now that you're here and working at a hop garden, what do you see that's unique about hops that are grown here?
I think the most unique system for me will be that connection with the sheep farm and hop farm. So actually in Slovenia or in Europe, I didn't know that system that we can put the sheep into the hops. So usually we do our wheat management we do with a mechanical way, so we do with cultivation. But here in New Zealand, usually we have sheep in the hop garden, and actually the sheep are the wheat management. And they also like to eat the hop bottom leaves. So that's really good, because if they eat the bottom leaves, we will get more light into the hop garden. So actually sheep farm and hop farm are the best combination of farming.
Did you know this, James, when you first started growing hops?
Well, a wise man would say yes, but I have to be totally honest and say no. No, didn't know that. Stumbled into it. We're learning as we go. And as Blas was saying, they go hand in hand, the sheep and the hops. So Terence, my brother, looking after the sheep, and Blas looking after the hops. So we're just learning that we've got to go together and talk about what we're doing and how they go and where the sheep are going next and how to control things.
Mm. Let's go up and have a look at the hops to see how they're doing. How big are these cones now, would you say?
So we have still this variety, which is Cascade. We have small cones, but we can slightly see inside the lupulin development. That's the yellow powder, and this is what we need to have for good quality beer.
So Blaz has just rubbed one of the cones, and it's opened up, and you can see some yellow inside.
Yeah, that's the lupulin, which is high with alpha and beta acids. And because it's aroma hops, it's also high with essential oils. And that brings to the beer like citrus flavors, mango flavors, some tropical fruits. And these are all coming from essential hop oils.
Do the sheep like to eat the cones?
Yeah, it's very interesting that if the plant falls on the ground and the sheep can reach them, they will eat just the leaves. Because our cones, which is our commercial product, it's bitter inside because of that lupulin powder, and the sheep will not eat the cones.
James, do these plants just get bigger and bigger? I mean, how long do they stay in the ground?
They stay in the ground for 20 to 25 years. So the crown that's in the ground will get bigger. So what you see now is the plant coming out of the ground. You chop it off when we take it away to harvest it, and it'll grow new shoots again next year.
So you chop it right down at the base?
Yeah, well, you chop it about 4 to 6 inches above.
Yep.
But the crown itself in the ground is probably the size of your fist now, and it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger to the size of your head underground. And all the energy goes into the air for the winter, and it sits there dormant, and then it'll start again and grows. The roots grow out and the shoots go up again. So the American system have different height. What height do you have over in Europe?
Yeah, so in Europe we'll have a higher hop trail, so we'll be like 7 meters high. But this I call like American style of growing. So there are 4.5 meters high wires, and we don't want to go any more higher because it's more harder to reach higher aromas. Mm. So 4.5, it's more for aroma hop varieties, which we have here in New Zealand.
So you mean the height of the plant can affect the aromas that the cones will display?
Yes, it's easier that we stop the plant earlier so the plant can focus on flowering and aroma development.
At the top wire, the hop plants tend to just flop over, don't they?
Yes, they will flop over, and when the plant will start flowering depends on the sun. So actually the hop plant can know exactly which day of the year is, and when the days start shortening, the plants will slowly start putting all that energy into the flowering.
They've got a very good memory.
Yes, they are kind of very smart. They are cannabis family, so we have male plants and female plants, and that female flowers cones, these are commercial product which is important for us. But for the male varieties, we need to take a look to don't have them, because if we have just one of them, then they can pollinate our females and the quality will go lower.
Now, James, is the hop garden behind the windbreak a bit younger? They look smaller.
Yeah, they are younger. So the one we're in now is the second year. crop. So it takes hops about 3 years to get up to full speed. We planted that one on Labour weekend. So we'll get a harvest off that this year, but it might be about 40% of what it will be when it gets up to full noise. And then there's a third paddock over here that we planted between Christmas and New Year. But we won't harvest that one. They're just in the ground, getting nice and happy in their little homes, ready for next year.
This time next year, they'll be, what, 4 or 5 metres tall?
They're very quick. On some days in December and January, they can grow 15, 20 centimetres sometimes in a day.
Why are New Zealand hops in so much demand in Europe?
Yeah, the craft market is still expanding. If I compare the Europe craft market with New Zealand, we are in Europe still behind. So we are still expecting to expand the craft market a lot. And for good craft beer, you need unique hops. You need good aroma hops. And New Zealand aroma hops, it's known as one of the best ones with some of really unique aromas. And if you want to make a really good beer, you need really good hops. And maybe really good hops wasn't being important that much 20, 30 years ago. But right now, because all these craft beers, IPAs, hazy IPAs, they're looking for special, unique flavors.
Yes, and do people pay a lot more for New Zealand hops in Europe?
Yes, yes. The New Zealand hops in Europe will be really hard to get, and it will be one of the most expensive ones.
James, are you finding that the hops are starting to display flavors that speak of or capture this particular area?
Yeah, definitely. It's something that's starting to express itself in the beers now. The brewers are feeding back that our hops are a bit more citrusier, a bit more punchier. But yeah, definitely that will be something we want to have in part of our community, that we want to be known. This area wants to be known as Southland Southern hops with a different taste that people want to look for.
Do you have breweries contacting you to find out what you're doing?
Yes, we've got the Wanaka and the Queenstown breweries and one from Invercargill that buy our hops, and then we're just looking to expand on that. But they'll be all coming up here in a few weeks' time. Last year we had 5 breweries turn up for fresh hops. They all turn up for their vat on, they've got boiling away, they drive here, they get their bag of hops, they have a race to see who can make the first fresh hop beer and who can make the best one.
That must be a fun day when they're all here getting their hops.
It's busy, it's challenging, but it's good. But we encourage the brewers to come down and look at the hops and help select which ones they want to do. When hops are ready, there's about a 9-day window for each variety, so they can choose if they want them in the middle or the end or the beginning, because they're a slightly different expression of the taste. Mm.
Is there a particular beer you like that is already using your hops? Can you single one out?
There's a few that are quite good. My favourite fresh hop one last year was one that Ryan Reason did, called Oops, I Did It Again. That was a really good fresh hop one. But my mainstay one would be Altitude, do one called Mischievous Care. That's one of their signature beers, and they do it with our hops, and it's very good.
How important is it for you, James, that you get the community behind you on this?
It's very important. We're Gus and Hops, so we're Gus and community. I grew up here, and you went out and you helped your neighbours, and we all did your hay together. You all took turns doing one what and next one, and that was great. It was lovely summer days. We out working together, and you had a good community feel. But we need a lot of people around the harvest. Over the last 100 years, our community has gone backwards in numbers because people move away, they go to the town for school, and they never come back in. So this could be a way to help reverse that trend as well.
Lynn, will you be involved in the harvest?
I will, actually. I have 2 jobs in the harvest. One job is cook. So we feed all our staff morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, and that involves cooking for 20 people for a good 3 weeks. So that's my main job. And my other job is tour guide. We get a lot of people wanting to come through and see the hops, as you can imagine. And so in the harvest time, Blas, James, and all the other workers are way too busy.
So you take people around the hop gardens to show them how it all works?
Yes, yes. I had a group from Tiana a couple of weeks ago came in, and they were on their way to Queenstown in a bus and called in, and several have already booked in to come during harvest time.
For people who'd like to come and visit the hop garden, how can they get hold of you?
We've got a Facebook page, Gaston Hops, so we can't accommodate too many people, but yeah, we can do a few.
Lynn McNamee ending that story from Gaston Hops in northern Southland. Cosmo was also talking to Lynn's brother James and hop manager Blas Helen.